And going back to Colossians, as we move on into the second chapter of Colossians, as we begin tonight, and we're going to be starting when we start our Bible study for tonight in the ninth verse, there's just going to be a rapid fire of in Christ. It's mighty. In Him, in whom, in Christ. And just boom, 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 boom. Encouraging us into these heights. But before we go on into this glorious perfection that's going to be laid out for us in that love plan of the Father, I want us to go back and remember the incredible favor that we have in Christ that we received last week. Help prepare us a little bit for the heights that we're going to come into. And let's do remember that overflowing love in Christ. Paul, as he commends these saints, I want us to think about this. This was, in a way, the less of the least of the churches. This church at Colossae was kind of a real little out of the way one. And even the minister that came to minister to them, Epaphras there, precious brother, but not really well known in a lot of ways. But he was well known to God and the heart he had for the truth. And I thank the Lord as Paul, again, under and guided by the Spirit of the Lord, there's never anything withheld from him for people that love the truth. And his heart just poured forth the abundance of the Spirit's love for the grace and mercy that was not made vain in the lives of these saints at Colossae. And if you remember there in verse 5, it says there in chapter 1 that it said, it says there that Paul beheld their order. He said, beholding your order. Paul was in awe of their preferred rank and quality. And I think that's so sweet to us because, remember, this was the Apostle Paul, the chosen vessel unto God, that was to bring forth this message of the mystery of Christ in the bride. And he still was always in awestruck because it was true, sincere love, bridal love, as the head, the same for the body, for any saint that would come in to loving that truth. Because it was the love of Christ in Paul. It never was Paul's love. And that was the heart that he always had. That's why that full embrace of a bridal embrace was always there to everyone and anyone that would come into that truth. And I thank the Lord that evidence is in this place. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. There's nothing sweeter to hear. There's nothing sweeter, honey, than to hear the Lord's placed upon your heart. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's okay to get excited about being in church. It's good. But you're just thankful for people that love the Lord. You know, they're rare. They're rare. And it's not, again, of them. It's the grace of God that's with them. And you thank the Lord for that. And you begin to live this life of thankfulness for his mercy and his grace continually. It wasn't just in the one time that he saved you. It's always. Always. And it should only increase in the thankfulness of his mercy and grace as you go on as a Christian. Because I think you really realize how much mercy and grace in its infinite proportions was poured out to you and to me. But here he is. He's in awe and of their order. Not their order of how they run a church. Not in their order of how they come in and everybody's in their right place. What that order meant, again, was their rank and preferred rank and their quality. He was in awe of looking at those diamonds. And he couldn't see them physically. How he could see them was by faith, because what did he hear? Their love for the truth and their love in the spirit for one another. And he could see it. Amen, he could. He could see it because that's the evidence of the Word of God. It's the things that can be seen that cannot be seen by man. And this is what he loved, and this is what he was so thankful about. And then he said, their steadfastness. And isn't that interesting how most people think they hear the word, well, you're a steadfast Christian. Well, immediately you kind of, you know, straighten up. And yes, yes, no, no. You hear that, you should bow more than anything. And I thank the Lord, and I'm grateful to God to always remind people, we have faith in his faithfulness. We have faith in his faithfulness. Amen? And I thank the Lord for that. But it was their steadfastness. And remember this, this word steadfastness is only found one time. There's no other word that compares to it in a way or in all these different things in what it's trying to describe. And it means a firmament and an arch in the sky. And if you think of this, Paul is in awe here because Paul is putting us in remembrance as Ezekiel was in awe when he was referring to the cherubim. It's exactly the place that Paul is taking, in a way, is the place of Ezekiel back in there in Ezekiel chapter 1, where Ezekiel is brought to that river Kabar, and he looks and he sees out of the whirlwind. I love that. That whirlwind. See, there are whirlwinds coming, the calling. That's the seizing capture of the bridal arm. It's that embrace. To seize a bride away. I go back there and we study Ezekiel chapter 1 tonight if you'd like. I love it. But it's so exciting. Because, see, the Bible in its love story repeats itself over and over again. Over and over again. And over and over again. And this wonderful gospel that was given to Paul, it opens up all of those things that you would wonder about. Well, what does it mean that Ezekiel saw these things? What is a cherubim? Why are these four ones that look like a man? All of those things. It can't be known until you see what Paul is revealing in Paul's epistles. Once it's revealed in Paul's epistles, praise God, you begin to see that pattern through all of those stories in the Old Testament. And how wonderful how it's just brought forth in such, you know, beauty. It's not that you're seeing it from afar off. You're entering into it. It's actively going on in your life. And you see yourself walking through these things. I mean, you do see yourself walking in the moment, don't you, of the sound of the trumpet? Amen? Aren't we there? I mean, we're here tonight, but there's, you know, we're here and there and, you know, I don't know if I'm here or there. But this is how beautiful the Lord, you know, ministers to our hearts. And this is his Paul putting us in remembrance as Ezekiel was there in chapter 1 referring to the cherubim. These are the saints of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These are the representation of the four living ones there in Revelation chapter 4 that are seen in the midst of the throne. Those are the ones that are giving glory to him. Mm-hmm. They give him that glory. Praise God. They are his glory. You know, that's why they can give it to him, because there is glory. These are the cherubim saints that reign now in truth and love, that will reign and rule with Christ Jesus in the midst of the throne. As we've been studying through this precious Colossians, the in Christ in here, we found out that there's one mind, isn't there? They have one conclusion. I appreciated a sister reaching out to me. She lives away from here, and she was just so thankful for that conclusion that we rejoice in. And thanking the Lord, how it stirs my heart that there are ones taking in this precious truth. But see, this is the conclusion of us like precious faith saints. Amen. We're expecting this conclusion. This gospel causes you to expect nothing but that result. Amen? See, that's exactly what happens. You, and I thank the Lord. How beautiful we've been fed all these years. And I think it's just like this. If you want corn, you plant corn. You plant corn, you get corn. If you want the bridal truth, you plant Paul's gospel. You plant Paul's gospel. and out will come a bride. Praise the Lord. And it's because of the faithfulness and the power in the Word of God. And the power, praise God, in the whole counsel of God. The power in the gospel that nothing is withheld. Amen? The Holy Ghost that was given to guide us into all truth. Not some truth. Not truth I want to take. Not truth that's convenient for the moment. But all truth. And all truth with love that shed abroad in our heart like a geyser. That causes us to believe beyond in faith what we never imagined. Praise the Lord. So, this is just beginning to set this up a little bit. But see, this is the preferred choice rank, fully reigning in the midst of the throne. This is to be in that order. I want to be in that order. Amen? That's what I want. And praise the Lord. I can hear that same Spirit speaking this truth to my heart. Honey, you've received that grace, the grace of God. And this is what will be. And isn't it marvelous that the four living ones, the cherubim that are seen back in Ezekiel, and the same cherubim, the four living ones that we see in Revelation 4, they have all the characteristics of the Lord Himself. They have every characteristic of Jesus Christ. You know, because isn't it that we are changed from glory to glory into His very image? Amen? I believe the Word of God says that we would grow up into the measure, the stature, and the fullness of Christ. Amen? Unto a perfect man. We rejoiced in that perfect, didn't we? The completeness of that. I mean, this is peri suo all over the place. It's just exceeding. It's beyond, exceedingly beyond what we ask or think. So we're grateful to God that He gives this to us. But isn't that wonderful? He gives us the faith to believe it. It's not hard to believe. On one hand, man, that's just unbelievable. But it's not hard to believe because He's God. That's the one thing that's so beautiful. He gives you the grace, truly. I thank Him. It's not hard to believe God. When you know Him, it's not hard to believe Him. Amen? Aren't we thankful we know Him? He says, and my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Just listen. Just listen. You'll know Him. You'll know Him. Avail this ear to hear Him. So, we're getting excited about these things. But they have the characteristic of the Lord Himself. If you go back to Ezekiel and all the way through Revelation as well too, you'll see that the bride has His voice. Amen. The bride has His voice right now. Yes, that's the truth. And I thank God. I hear Him a lot in this place. It's wonderful. And they have His glory. Whether it was Ezekiel himself or John, remember? They couldn't even differentiate between the four living ones and Christ. They kept bowing down. They had to be kept told, John, now don't you do that no more. I know you're in such glory here, son, but I'm redeemed just like you. Praise the Lord. We're brethren. So you can see how marvelous that is. And isn't it interesting that the Lord took the one, John, that the Lord said, he's the disciple that I love. And John's the one that it always spoke of that was the one that had his head on Jesus' breast. He was probably the guy that said, you know, I just got to get touch him. I just want to lay on him. You know, he's so wonderful. So he, you know, physically had heard him, knew him and all that. But here it is John. He keeps bowing down. Let me tell you something, that bride is really like him. Amen. So, we know that this is the calling. And thank the Lord that all of that, that reality for us who believe, it's right here in the Word of God, isn't it? See, that's so true. And it's right here for anyone. It's right here for everyone. But you have to be taught this. And by the grace of God, you have to be willing to study. Isn't that something? Lord, help us. We're lazy creatures. We just are. You know, we can have attention problems. And especially adhering to the Word of God. I don't care how attentive you can be. You need to ask the Lord. Lord, give me that ear to hear. Give it to me. Give me a heart to desire this Word. And when I don't feel like it and I'm getting a little rebellious, break my heart. Break my heart. Don't let me use the one that we use a lot of times. Well, I don't understand it. He wants you to understand it. So if he wants that, you know what? You can understand it. But you're going to have to give him your time. Amen. He wants your time. He wants you to hear this and to study this. And you know how this comes? It comes line upon line. And line upon line. And precept upon precept. And precept upon precept. And here a little and there a little. So it is built upon. And as it's built upon, I'll tell you what, it'll just spring forward all the time. It'd just be this, it's like a geyser after a geyser after a geyser. It just keeps shooting off. And in this light upon light that he'll give to you to see these things. But see, it is right here in the Word of God. Because all the fullness, as we begin here, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in him. Let's go ahead and read verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, "For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So this is so beautiful here. We're talking about the power, the abundance, the keeping, everything. The Father placed it all in his Son. It's all there. Hallelujah. And as he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The glory of God was in his face. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He's it. He's everything. Hallelujah. And it's all in him. The Father placed it all in the Son. And think of this, brothers and sisters. That's right where he placed us. Into all the fullness. That's where we're at. It's all in him and we're in there. Think of that. Come on now. You're going to have to step over there in faith in a big way tonight. Praise God. We are in all the fullness of God. And I do say a big hallelujah to that. The entire Trinity in its fullness in him. Think of this. The full Father's will. The full power of the Holy Ghost. Once again, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. We are in it. We are in him. We're in that with him. Praise God. We partake in all of it with him. And we are in Christ, not to observe it. It's not to be observed, but to be in it is to be part of it. Praise God. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And you think of it, it's all there. And by faith, the capacity, the capacity, praise God, that, and I will say the parousuo, the leftovers, exceeding abundant leftovers that we can partake in. And that's for every child of God. That's for each and every one of us to partake in all of that fullness. And now, here's why. It's because we are one with him in this fullness of what is ours in Christ to share. Go ahead and read verse 10. So it says, "And ye are what? Complete in him." So see, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. So he tells us this, which is the head of all principality and power. Now that word complete, it means to the brim, full in measure, but that's not it. That word complete means fulfilled in every way. In him, we are fulfilled in every way. Did you hear that? In him, we are fulfilled in every way. I'll tell you what. You talk about goosebumps. I had them all over the place reading and just going in deeper and deeper to what the meaning of this complete is. It means to cram into a net. I like that. Literally. And that's a literal expression of that word in the Greek. To cram it into a net, fill every hollow. Oh, I love that. I got lots of hollows, and he filled every one. He found them all. He found them all. I couldn't hold one back from him. He found them all, praise the Lord. He filled them all. Oh, yes, he did. Now get this. Complete means to consummate. How could it not? When he's after this, how could it not? And you think, see, that's the fulfillment of the marriage, you see. And we have that going on. We occupy as a readied wife. I know that there's a time, you know, there's a 30-minute window in heaven that's going to be a mighty time. I love that. Isn't he marvelous? Why do you say 30 minutes? Well, because he's God, and he knows what to tell us. But I will tell you, in faith and in spirit, that consummation goes on right now. You know that. Ravished in him. Filled with all the fullness of God, I think we can conclude. Now, that's what complete in him is. And that's what that is. Go on over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And here's what it is. When we're complete, filled every hollow, fulfilled in every way, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, you want this fullness? I want this fullness. Who wouldn't want this fullness? But there's only one way to have this fullness, and that's to know the love of Christ. You have to know it, okay? And, you know, before we got down to this place here, it was that we would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ in that capacity, in that fullness. So when the Lord brings this forth to us, we know that when we come into knowing Christ as Savior, that's the beginning of knowing his love. That's the knowledge of the love of a child and it's the birth of a child. And that child grows at that time, at that moment, begins to love. And the first one that one loves truly usually is the mama. Mama's going to nurse that baby, hold that baby. Daddy tries to get in there for a little bit, but that ain't happening. We're watching our little baby films, and, you know, I wasn't really noticed by my son until about 18 months. But that's what they know. You know what I'm saying. And then as they grow, they know a little bit more love, and they have a little more capacity for love, to love a few more people, and knowing these different things. And then that love is directed to really good friends. But then that love continues to mature as that life matures, and then there comes a first love. Mm-hmm. A love that is so strong and so great that it'll take you from the house of love that you grew up in, that you're willing to leave all that love because there's a first love and a greater love that'll take you and draw you out that you cannot live without. That love, even as a person, in what we know, will fulfill you in a way and give you a fullness that you couldn't have without that person. It has to be that one. This is the love that Christ wants us to grow up into with him. This is the bridal message of Paul. This is it. And isn't it sweetly clear that, you know, to be complete, you have to know this love. To have love that would be shed abroad in your heart, right? Like a geyser, like a gusher. This love capacity that would be so full. Well, who does that? It's the Holy Ghost. And it had to come from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Those two requirements Those two requirements that Christ spoke to those disciples. He said, I want you to understand these things. There's things I want to tell you, but you can't understand them. Now, these are men. These are men of God. These are his brethren, his friends. Been with him 3.5 years. Naturally speaking, probably knew him better than anybody than his mom and dad. But they knew him daily, night. They were with him. They heard him. Thou art the Christ. Where else are we going to go? They had a beautiful time. But Jesus couldn't tell them, even remotely tell them, the deep things that he had to tell them. They needed the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord draw in your heart, honey, is what it is. And there's something about the Holy Ghost in there. Power. Power. Oh my. Pentecostal power. And it's that power of knowledge of his love. And in that love, praise the Lord, that power of the knowledge of his truth. And it keeps giving back and forth. Praise the Lord. The more truth, the more love. The more love, the more truth. It keeps adding to itself. So you go on here to verse 11. It's going back to Colossians here. And it says there, so we had in him. Well, look at there. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So let's read that again. In whom also ye are circumcised. It's done. All right? It's done. All right? The old man is dead. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Isn't this beautiful? Think of what he's just told us and told them. They dwell. In him is all the dwelling of the fullness of God. And you know what? You've got everything in him. You're complete. He's filled every hollow of your life. And you're in that place of all of this. And that life which is the head of all principality and power. You're in the place that's over all principality and power. You're in the place of all principality and power. Think of that. I will tell you, not a hair of your head can be touched. Know this. Just as Christ said, when they were talking to him, even Paul said this, you don't have any power, King. You don't have any power. All power that you have is given of my Father. And you know what? By the grace of God, we can say the same thing. We're in that same place. Don't think you're, you know, again, some delinquent child. You're the son of God because of that blood. We are now the sons of God. We stand in that same place. By the grace of God, I want to have that same faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my life. That's my life. Praise the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Praise God. Help my unbelief. Praise his name. But see, that's what's so beautiful here is that in him, we're brand new. All those old things, all of them, passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And he's reminding us again, even though we're in him and all of that, over above all the principality and power, we're complete in him. He's filled everything for us. I mean, there isn't anything else because we're in all of that fullness, but yet here we are, and he's got to encourage us again. Honeys, that flesh is flesh. And I know what you're going to doubt and what you're going to think, but ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I sure love faith, don't you? I love faith. And that's what faith, by grace through faith did for every child of God. That is done. So we have one life, and that's his life, and it's in Christ. And I thank the Lord, all that sin is gone. He finished it. The law that was against us, he took it away by the blood of the Lamb. In Christ. In Christ. So since we are in him, let's go ahead and now read from verse 12. We are buried with him in baptism. Praise the Lord. So we're buried with him. You're also risen with him. Amen. Through the faith of the operation of God. What an operation. Praise the Lord. And hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the circumcision of your flesh, because all of that transaction was made, that operation, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's complete grace. And having spoiled, that's like spiking the ball. You talk about a celebration, praise God. Spoiled principalities and power. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, you think about all them benefits toward me. Amen. We are crucified together with him. We're buried with him. We're raised with him. We're seated with him. We're quickened together with him. And it's all in Christ. And it's ours. This is ours. Praise God. So in that place, turn over to John 10:17. Do we see in that place, the place that we're crucified, buried, raised, seated, quickened together with Christ. Do we see this when Jesus said in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Think of that. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. All right. Because we are crucified and buried and raised with him in Christ, the Father receives us just the same. See, Jesus put us in that place with him. That's what in Christ is. Thank the Lord. We're talking about the same love. We're talking about the same life that lives in us. And this is this incredible grace, this incredible work, this incredible operation, as God says, that was done in his Son. The Father receives us just the same. He loves us in the same light and power of John 10:17. No, I did not die. Jesus died for me. But in Christ, I'll tell you what, I sure did die with him. I died with him. And I was raised with him and seated with him. Hallelujah. In the same life, in that same life, in that same way, his Son's perfect life, that we are in him. Thank you, Lord. See, we have all the characteristics of him. Hallelujah. That's it. His life. Praise God. And the Father loves, he loves that. Even to the point, brothers and sisters, we are like him in being crucified and raised. We have been made, what? The very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're his prized possession because of Jesus. He He doesn't see us any other way. I believe the Word of God says we've been made bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Does He got two? No, He's just got one. He just got one. In Him, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Now, as we close this up, I ask you this. How far, once again, are we going to let faith in the Word really renew our mind and really set us completely in faith in Christ? Not faith like I'm set over here and He's way over there. But praise the Lord, we're in Him. We're in Him. I'm hidden away in Him. Safely hidden away. And I'll tell you what, you venture into that faith, you're going to get out of this world. And let me tell you something, we need to get out of this world. And I'm not talking about getting out of this world someday. I'm talking about getting out of this world in faith right now. Our minds need to cease to live here. And we need to live for His coming. And we can't be distracted. This is what He did. Remember that. This is all His grace and all His mercy. Because we are in Him, we were one with Him in it. And it was counted for our glory too. Let's not forget what we are in Christ. Remember how we almost started this whole thing? Go on over to Ephesians chapter 1. Never forget, we are in Christ in ages past. The moment we believed, this is where we went. Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We've always been there. That blood. See, it just transcends. Transcends all time. It's where He's placed us. Placed us right there. So in Him, in ages past, we've gone through all of that with Him. That's how it's counted for us. One life. One life. So then, brethren, I'll tell you what. All of what He is, we are one with Him in. So then, here is our life. And I will say it this way, going back to Colossians, here is our duty, if you will, as the sons of God. And I'm privileged to call this my life and duty in the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. What a time for us to hear those words. Amen. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Brothers and sisters, let's live constantly in that abounding hope. Amen. Praise God. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the elect of God, the sons of Lord of all. Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand and let's be dismissed.